We're back in the Mobile Kintech studio at Rogers Arena. Canucks are getting the rink ready for the Colorado Avalanche. Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, Cale Makar in town as the Avs, with a regulation win, can get up to where the Canucks are in the standings. Should be a good one here at the rink tonight. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. All right, let's get to it. It's the open on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the open.
Mom! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Yes, the open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest is the rumor mill has picked up around Elias Pettersson once again, with Elliot Friedman on 32 Thoughts this morning hypothesizing a trade between the Canucks and Buffalo Sabres. Canucks sending Elias Pettersson, the Sabres sending Bowen Byram and Dylan Cousins. It's funny because Elliot was like, right away, that's not enough. But you just threw it out there
yeah.
anyways.
No, it was funny. I mean,
who says no? Well, obviously the Canucks say no.
Yeah, I mean, of course, right? Like, I don't think Elliot just throws that stuff out there for the sake of it. So I understand. But we don't need to get into, like, what did Elliot mean or not. But we can just leave it at he's probably not just saying it for the sake of saying it. You know what I mean?
Well, that's where the conversation is. The latest isn't that Elliot Friedman had a hypothetical trade between two teams. It goes to a longer-standing conversation around Elias Pettersson that dates back to last year. They wrestled the cage before him signing his 8-year extension with the team, and essentially news got out like, if you don't sign it, we're really going to think about trading you before this year's trade deadline, and you'll be going to a different market. He ends up signing the contract. Play doesn't pick up. It continues through the playoffs. He struggles there as well. Struggles out of the gate to start this season. Has picked it up lately. At least point production-wise has been better. But he hasn't felt like the Elias Pettersson we know he can be. And to me, that's where all of this stems from. Because for as long as Pettersson isn't playing at the level we expect and he expects of himself to be at, speculation is going to continue. You can't hide with an $11.6 million a year contract anymore.
No, and I think that's part of it. And also there's been so much speculation as well, right? The whole JT thing and then JT Pettersson thing that's been discussed so much. And we don't need to go over that ground. Like, we spoke about it on Friday, right? And if anybody wants to go back and listen to it, they can. It's like 12 minutes into the first segment, you know, and it's like 5 or 6 minutes talking about it. But just kind of lays out everything there. But the big thing that my takeaway on all this was, JT's not getting traded right now, and I don't think Pettersson's getting traded right now, right? Like, ultimately, I don't think that's going to happen right now. Like I mentioned on Friday, and we've talked about, come this offseason, 7 months from now, who knows?
Yeah.
Right? Like, the world might look different in a few months, right? Like, in their world may look very different in a few months. And I think once you get to the offseason, you reassess and you see where you're at. I just don't see this being viable in season. And I also think for all this talk about, you know, Pettersson and his struggles and this team maybe looking to move him, I just don't know if there's a viable trade out there in the season that makes any sense anyway. So even if you wanted to make the trade, let's just say for argument's sake that there's something there, right? The Canucks want to move Pettersson. I just don't see this being the time for you to do it anyways.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't line up right now.
No, it doesn't. And if you are trading Elias Pettersson in season, you're in a lot of ways, you're almost punting this season. Of course, it would depend what you get back. I don't imagine you are trading Pettersson for peanuts, and not that Cousins and Byram are peanuts, but that's not nearly enough for a 40-goal, 100-point center in recent memory. All of this comes down to, like, it's one of three things. Like, Elliot's throwing bleep at the wall and seeing what sticks, and Elliot's not the kind of guy that does that.
No,
so,
And like Roger and Kit said, he's, you know, Elliot did say he's calling it a wild idea. And he never said that, you know, it's just, it was a,
but he did follow up on Donnie and Dolly saying that, you know, Buffalo's got interest in Canucks players.
Yes.
Canucks have interest in Buffalo players. And that's where his hypothesis originated from.
Yeah. And Dollywall reported as well today that, you know, Buffalo did call and ask about Pedersen. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, at some earlier this year or last year, like there's been some contact, like there's something that's happened. Again, it comes down to how likely is this?
Yes.
I don't think Cousins and Byram is likely, right?
Yeah.
Like I've said before, we talked about before, there's always a price that's worth it for any player.
Yeah.
There is.
And I'm not cliche, even, Wayne Gretzky got
you. Yeah, and I'm not even trying to say like, oh, Pedersen's, the price is so high that it's unreasonable. You can probably talk me into a few things, right? Like that are interesting. But it would have to include bringing back a real star-level player.
Yes.
When you're trading for Cousins and Byram, you're not getting a star.
No.
Right? So that, to me, doesn't make any sense. Now, maybe one of them turns into that at some point, but that's one hell of a bet to make, right? Like, there's a lot of risk there, right? So that's what makes me, if I'm trading a player of that caliber, that's not how much risk I want to take on. And if you're looking at offseason-wise, where the things are different as far as trade partners, flexibility around the league, the draft, and just you have more information on your team and what to look for and what to do, I think that becomes more interesting, potentially.
Yep.
But I think if this team starts playing better and coming together as a team, all this stuff is going to change. Like, I think that this as much as we're sitting here and talking about it and people think like something's going to happen with Pedersen, that as long as if this team turns it around and wins a few games, we're going to kind of laugh about this in a couple of months. Like, I think that's the more realistic path as opposed to Pedersen realistically getting traded to the Sabres the next month or two.
Well, and it's not just winning a few games, though, Sad. Like, you got to make it – it's got to look – it's got to look
– Well, that's the thing. Well, I mean, yeah.
It's got to look like something that can have success in the playoffs, too.
Yeah, but you're not winning on home ice.
Yeah.
You have 5 wins in 16
games. You're not even
games.
Winning on home ice,
If you win on home ice, and that means you're probably playing better hockey.
Yeah.
Then people are going to forget about it. And I think the team's going to feel better about it. And I think, you know, part of all this that's out there right now, we know the team is in a tough spot trade-wise. Because right now, Desharnais is not easy to move. They're capped out. They're trying to accrue cap space for later. Teams know that they're looking for help. They're not getting any lifelines from anybody. You know, does something like this rattle the cage enough to kind of get this team, you know, to pay attention and get focused about, hey, look, you know, they may not make trades, but you guys better watch out because we might do something pretty drastic here, right? Like, is some of that going on? You got to be careful, like we spoke to Frank about.
Yeah.
You heard what happened with the Rangers when all the stuff came out about their players being available. It completely tanked their season, and so far they haven't even got out of it yet. Now, that was different because there was a list of, you know, for players that GMs share on the chat.
Yeah.
And they essentially said, Kreider's available, this guy's available, these guys are available.
And that got out.
There's no list anywhere that has the Canucks saying to teams, Pedersen's available, Miller's available.
Yeah.
So like, I don't think it's the same situation necessarily. So could this grab people's attention that, hey, listen, we haven't made a trade yet, we don't want to do anything drastic, but if these guys who can't get emotionally invested, like the coach said, don't get invested, we may have to do something.
Well, and it's one of those things where, like, you know, you think about it, who are the 4 or 5 players, and ultimately you wonder if Pedersen's one of those guys. Like, Miller is one of the most engaged and better players for the Vancouver Canucks. You look at the possession numbers, that line was above the watermark when basically nobody else was. So it's too often you can read or try to read the tea leaves of what Rick Tocchet is saying and wonder if it points back to a common denominator, and that common denominator being Elias Pedersen. Pedersen has not played near the level that we think he can. If you want the speculation to end, if you're Elias Pedersen and you want the speculation to end, you know what ends the speculation? Being the player that everyone knows you can be and leading this Canucks team to more victories. He hasn't been that for too long. And that's why there's this never-ending circle, this never-ending cloud around the player. You don't like that people are drawing the conclusion, oh, well, look, Miller's back in the lineup and now Pedersen's play has dipped again. You don't like the narrative?
Well, play better.
Play better.
Yeah.
You know, like that's it is the simplest way to get everybody off your back. If you don't like it, play better. Because when Elias Pedersen is playing in the way that he can, when he's playing like the player that earned the $11.6 million a year, 8-year contract, Well, none of these are real conversations because everybody shuts up and knows that's an untouchable player on the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, and that just hasn't happened. And when that doesn't happen, to your point, especially in a Canadian market, the discussion is going to happen.
Yeah.
And for all the talk about media stoking the Pettersson fires, and of course we're sitting here and talking about it, the amount of responses we get every single game on the post-game show, the majority of texts are about Pettersson. The majority of texts. And the majority of those texts are very critical, right? Like, some obscenely critical.
Yes.
You know? And there's a lot of that coming out. So it's not even about, the pressure from the media. Like, the fans are restless. And when fans get restless, too, and they get so critical about a player, it creates a lot of angst, right? It creates a lot of emotions around the player. And people around the league see that. They're like, hey, fans are displeased. The player is struggling. Is that affecting the player? Should we swoop in and make a trade?
Yeah.
And if you're swooping in to make a trade, you're trying to get it at the lowest value possible.
Yep.
So you're not in a position of strength right now. So even if you wanted to trade Pettersson, right, are you at a position where you can do that and gain the best trade right now? I don't think so.
Yeah.
So again, I think offseason becomes, is where you got to punt all this for. And I also think the Canucks, like Frank mentioned, and Frank, he said there's nothing substantiated out there about Pettersson being available at all. And I haven't heard that either. And the one thing I did hear today when I did check in to be like, okay, what's going on here? It was, the standard of like, yeah, he's not getting traded, obviously this front office, you never put anything past them. But when he signed his contract, the reason he does not have a no-trade clause this year is not because the team didn't want to give him one or he couldn't get one. He literally isn't allowed to have a no-trade clause until next season.
Yeah, you're not allowed to get one until you are under the CBA, available for unrestricted free agency.
And that begins next year. This is the final year of control, so to speak, the Canucks had. And that there was an understanding when he signed the contract that we're not trading you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, hey, we know you don't have it, but you're not getting traded. And we know that agency is also the same agency that has Quinn Hughes. Mm-hmm. If all of a sudden you go and just trade the player to Buffalo, of all teams, it's probably not going to be great as far as your relationship with that agency, and especially on your word. And I know things can change and all that, right? But I just don't see Buffalo being the team. You know what I mean? And that's why for all this stuff out there, I just don't see it. Like, I just don't see it, guys.
It is, and if they're, as I said, it feels like it's not Elliot throwing bleep at the wall and seeing what sticks. Because there is a little bit of smoke there.
Like I said, even remove the Elliot part, like he mentioned, the stuff he said on that, like you said, if you listen to what he said on Donnie and Dolly, if you listen to some of the stuff that's been out there about the Sabres and the Canucks maybe talking in some regard, I think it's more likely the Canucks are talking to teams, Reach, about defensemen and about other ways to help the team. I don't think the focus of their trade talks right now are around Pettersson or anything big of that nature. Could that change?
Yeah.
Does that mean they haven't had talks with teams? I do think.
Yeah,
obviously, teams call you. You have conversations. I think this front office is smart enough to use the opportunity of any conversation to gather intel, right? So just because you're having a conversation doesn't mean you want to trade the player. But I think the chief goal for them right now is find a defenseman.
Yeah, and ultimately, that's how they think they're going to get better this season is by making those kinds of trades. That's why you're trying to move on from Desharnais to open up a little bit of cap space, do a mea culpa on the mistake you made in the summer. But I wonder if there is a level of frustration with Pettersson's play not coming around still. As we sit here on December the 16th, I do wonder if there is a level of frustration within the organization about where Pettersson's game is at, has been, and why it hasn't gotten to the level that they know it can be. But, does that mean they are trading Elias Pettersson tomorrow? No, it absolutely does not, because that's a player. You can say it all the time. You trade the best player in a deal, you're probably not winning that trade. And Pettersson probably going to be the best player in a trade if you do end up trading Elias Pettersson. So Jim Rutherford was on After Hours Saturday with Hockey Night in Canada and Scott Oak. And I think there was a couple of things. The Brock Besser situation was interesting, but also, his quick response to say that the Canucks aren't quite a contender just yet, that they're a couple of pieces away from being a contender, was maybe the standout thing from the president, Jim Rutherford.
Yeah, and he's not wrong. It's like we talked about all season long, even this offseason. Like, we like what the Canucks did this offseason in totality, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, the Sherwood and DeBrusque signings look very good right now. The Heinen and Desharnais ones, not so much, right? But overall, we like what they did in the offseason in totality. But we all agreed. There was consensus agreement. The Canucks couldn't do everything they wanted to do. And it's clear that they would have loved to add another defenseman, but didn't.
Yeah.
Now, did they do enough with Forsberg and Desharnais? At the time, I didn't think so. Mm-hmm. But I thought, okay, you can't address all your issues. You have to address them at some point this season, though. That hasn't changed. That's been a thing that goes back to the offseason. I think that's becoming more acute right now because Filip Hronek is out.
Yes.
And I think a defenseman is really what they will need. But I also think that there's a level of disappointment that none of the wingers so far have really worked out outside of Sherwood and DeBrusque. Like, it's a given that DeBrusque should work out. He's making 5.5, right? Sherwood's been a big hit. But I think they were really hoping that whether it's Hoglander, Heinen, or someone, like, they would also emerge as another player that can play up your lineup, and that just hasn't happened.
Yeah, and obviously Joshua's play hasn't been where you expected it to be when you gave him the extension over the summer. Obvious reasons for that, but you can't hide from the fact that Joshua hasn't been where you'd hoped he'd be coming off the season he had last year and the extension he got. So there's that, and then there is, of course, Brock Besser. We'll dive more into the Besser discussion a little bit later on in the show. Don Taylor is going to join us coming up after 5 o'clock. Also, Lance Lisowski, covering the Buffalo Sabres, is going to join us after 5:30. It is a 7:30 puck drop, so you got us for an extra half hour today. We'll get more into the pregame coming up after 6 o'clock. In the Canucks Central Roundup, Demko starting again tonight as Kevin Lankinen he was on the ice this morning for the optional morning skate, but he is still feeling the effects of that flu, so both he and Forbert will stay out of the lineup for today's game. Demko starting against the Avalanche, his second straight start, and then it's Vinny Desharnais in for Mark Friedman with Forbert out on defense. So Brännström stays in for tonight's game, no Mark Friedman for tonight.
Yeah, I think Friedman did really struggle with Brännström. I guess with Forsberg not being ready to go and they're, you know, committed to the lefty-righty thing, maybe we shouldn't be surprised that Brännström plays. But I think, you know, that pairing really struggled last game. And if Friedman's not going to play on the PK either and provide any value there, at least Desharnais PKs well. And it's funny how quickly that changes, right? Like, that's the thing when you have 7, 8, 9 guys, one game they look good, one game they don't. And that's kind of why there's 7, 8, 9 guys on the depth chart, right?
And that's kind of what's happening with the Canucks third pair right now. And yesterday, Max Sasson played in practice on a line with Elias Pettersson and Jake DeBrusque. I know Sasson's played well. He's got 5 points in 10 games. That's nothing to scoff at. But it felt like more of a, I need more out of other guys more than it is about Max Sasson.
It 100% is, right? And it's funny that we see this with every coach. We've seen it in the past, right? Whether it's, you know, a guy like Jason Megna playing up the lineup for a few games or whatever it is, right? Or you know, guys getting a chance like, you know, Matthew Highmore even for a chance. And it's like, why is this guy playing up the lineup? And it shows you the level of frustration the coach has. You know, and when the coach is playing a guy like Sasson up, and he's been great, 5 points in 10 games, he's done a fantastic job playing a limited role, and there's a lot to like about his game, but it's more about sending a message to the other guys.
Yeah.
The same reason why Baines was playing up the lineup instead of other guys. It's not that Baines is a better player, it's just that that's how he's going to send the message right now to you.
And so we'll see how it shakes out tonight when they get the line rushes against the Colorado Avalanche. All right, coming up, Don Taylor is going to join us. His take on the Pettersson discourse from today and what he's seeing from the Vancouver Canucks. That's next on Canucks Central.